It was Christmas Eve day, and I was running errands in our old minivan with the squeaky brakes and worn upholstery, my 4-year-old strapped into his car seat in the back. We pulled into a coffee shop drive-thru, and my heart started thumping. Before we even left the house, I'd prepped my son for our mission. "It's Christmas," I said, "and today we're going to spread some joy. We'd made an adventure of being in good spirits, and now we're going to wrap up our outing by paying for the order of the vehicle behind us in the drive-thru." Anonymous random acts of kindness work well for my introverted heart, but I still get nervous about drawing attention to myself. I ordered for us, mine a big peppermint mocha because 'twas the season, his an itty-bitty caramel apple cider, and squeaky braked our way to the payment window. My throat was getting dry as I leaned out my window to tell the barista that we'd be picking up our neighbor's tab as well. She met me halfway out her window and said that the car ahead of us had covered a portion of our bill. I stammered something about how that was what I was going to do too, and her sunbeam smile said Merry Christmas. But then she said that our order wouldn't be ready for a moment yet. Could we pull around the corner and they'd bring it out? My attention-avoiding heart began hammering again. That meant our cover would be blown. As the car behind us drove by me, they'd look at me. And what if they were offended or thought I was showing off or seeking attention? What if they rejected my offer of kindness? My son was crowing in the back seat, thrilled with our small good deed, while his mama was sinking into the foam poking through the worn seat cover, terrified of being seen. We pulled over to wait for our drinks, and eventually the car we'd paid for pulled around. I cringed, waiting for the scene I knew would come. And of course it didn't. Their car slowed as they passed us, honking and waving, beaming out the window. They were nothing but delighted, and I was too. We'd loved others from the spirit inside us, not from our own flesh, and he had been gracious despite our fear. What is this fear that creeps into kindness, into hope? And why do I allow it to take center stage? I recall moments in friendships when a risk had to be taken, a move made so we could continue forward, and my heart would panic, stomach in my throat, mind made up that the ending would be painful. Yet when these friendships, when our hearts have even a bit of Christ in them, hope does not disappoint, because he promises to be faithful. God promises to be our friend and the basis of our friendships. He promises, and he delivers. My pessimistic heart has a tendency to scoff at hope. "Prepare for the worst," it whispers. "Don't dare believe it could end well. That way you'll be ready if it doesn't," it beckons. "Protect yourself. Keep your distance so you don't get hurt," it smirks. "Being her friend won't be worth the risk," it lies. Hope feels dangerous to me. Hearts could break if we dare hope. Rooms could close in, cheeks could flush scarlet, and situations could get all kinds of awkward if we dare hope. Dreams could be crushed if we dare hope. Yet Scripture tells us that hope won't disappoint us after all. In fact, we rejoice not only in the glory of God, but also in our affliction that produces endurance, produces proven character, and produces hope. See Romans chapter 5, verses 2b through 4, author's paraphrase. Our hope is grounded in our relationship with Jesus Christ, which is guaranteed not to disappoint.